And joining us now, the head coach of the Browns, Pat Shurmur. Coach, after a game like that, I know there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, but I thought one big point you made when you talked with the media earlier today was about that three-minute sequence at the end of the first half, that can't be something that wrecks your whole game. There's still a lot of game left to play, and it's there's still that lesson of resilience, correct?
No question. I think it's a 60-minute game, and no matter what happens in that 3 minutes, you got to be able to you got to overcome it. And but the lesson for my team is you need to stop the bleeding in there. We had a string of bad things happen, and we can't do that. So somewhere in there, after a bad play occurs, the next guy's up got to make their best play. And I think that's what you're trying to get the guys to do.
And does some of that come from the idea, too, that you're dealing with a very good football team in the Giants, an excellent team, and as much as they came in with some injuries, they still have Eli Manning, they still play at a high level. You really don't have the margin for any kind of mistake against anybody, but especially that team.
No, I think any team that you play, I feel like we can beat every team we play if we play the way we should. You know, and I think every team goes into the game, I'm sure they feel the same way. And you got to play it out, and you got to play good football from start to finish. And, you know, they took advantage of the mistakes we made there and stretched out the score on us.
Let's take a look at the positives, because there were actually several, but let's start with that early start. Finally, you're not playing from a hole. You jumped on them right away and got into the end zone. The mindset, the feeling that you had, is that a hurdle that maybe your team has gotten over, given that you've been in a hole in these other games?
Well, it's the way you want to play a game. You know, they come out and run a ball. You know, we stop them. They turn the ball over, and then we punch it in immediately, which is important. Then we get them stopped. We get back on the field, and we throw a long pass for a touchdown. So it's 14-0. The team is excited. You know, something good has happened, and then you go play it out from there. And I thought we were battling, you know, and as I mentioned, it kind of got away from us just for a couple of minutes there. And to the Giants' credit, they took advantage of it.
You talked about all week, really, yourself, Brad Childress, about how well Josh Gordon was performing in practice and really a sense that he seemed to turn a corner, and then the game is played. Two touchdown catches, the beautiful 62-yarder. Of course, Brandon Weeden threw a tremendous pass on that as well. But was this a coming of age, a little bit, of Josh Gordon in your mind?
Well, it was his first real production, in my opinion, of the season. And we're in week five. And, you know, he had a lot to learn when he got here. You know, guy hadn't played ball. He's extremely talented. But, you know, we were doing what we can to push his buttons. And he responded well in practice. And I was glad to see him have some success in the game. Now, what's important is this is not a one-game season for guys on an individual basis. You've got to then recreate that and become a consistent good player. There were some other things in the game that I thought, you know, I saw him make some key blocks. I saw him show some excitement when things were going well, but do it in a professional way. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw some things from him that we really need to build on. To get him to be the best he can be.
What was it in practice that just kind of told you guys, though, that something good might be right around the corner? Anything
well,
specific?
He was catching the football. Yeah. He was running his routes in a way where the quarterback could get used to where he was going to be on the field. You know, those types of things.
Brandon Weeden, the psyche of a quarterback who had some very nice throws, the two touchdown passes, and some other plays that worked really well. And then, of course, the killer interception right before half. When you're talking about the mindset and psyche of a quarterback coping with that, give me a feel for what you've seen in talking with him, and how do you proceed with that as you now get into the week of preparation for Cincinnati?
Well, good, bad, or indifferent, you evaluate each play, and then you move on to the next one. And that was one of a small handful of bad plays in the game. And, of course, he threw an interception. We got him tackled, and then they scored on the defense. You know, so we – you know, you like to say, okay, then that's done, you know, and you move on to the next one. And, you know, between both interceptions, there was some good football on his part, you know. And so, you know, each experience that you go through,
sure,
you know, you want to be aggressive with the football, but yet you've got to take care of the ball. And so there's things to be learned. He's a guy that's extremely talented, and I think he made progress in every game he's played, in my opinion. And now we got to put together a winning performance from the quarterback position and all the positions, and I think that's the challenge.
Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, joining us as he always does on Mondays here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, back to that 3rd-and-1 play. A lot of discussion and second-guessing has been out there, but if we don't see an interception, no one's having this discussion, number one. And then number two, before that call is made, you've got some thinking on what you see and how you see it unfolding. So, again, easy to second guess it when it doesn't work, but give me a sense of what you're thinking when you make the call you make in that situation.
Well, you're trying to execute a play. You're trying to execute a play that's going to get you a yard, we have run this pass. We ran that very same pass out of a different formation grouping and completed it to Greg Little against Buffalo in a similar part of the field. We were 3 receivers, 2 backs.
Right.
In this situation, we were in 3 receivers and a tight end.
Right.
And so, it's not an uncommon play. And we executed it on 3rd-and-1 when we threw it. And I think Trent was in the game as well. And, it worked.
Yeah.
This one didn't. Now, what happens is when it doesn't work, then you don't want to turn the football over.
Right.
Because now you're sitting there at 4th-and-1 on the 25, and we have the ability to either go for it or kick a field goal. But you got to make sure that you don't give them the football. So that's the reality of it. I expect that's what people do.
Sure.
When things don't work out right in situational football, then you go back and second guess. We went for it on 4th-and-inches and made it, right?
Yep.
Had we not made it and we turned the ball over in that situation, then that would have been another fun one for everybody to second guess. Why didn't you punt it? So, I mean, I get that. I'm good with that.
Every decision as a coach is that you walk that line.
It was 3rd-and-a-mile, and we got 10 yards on a play, which made it 4th-and-3. Why don't you take the penalty and make, No. Yeah, so I get that. And those are the decisions that you make. As a coach, you make a lot of decisions throughout the game, and they all have an impact on the game.
Sure. Your offensive line played, again, going against that great giant pass rush and pretty much doing a reasonable job, I think, of keeping and allowing Brandon Whedon to have some time. How pleased were you of that effort, and where do you think that group is, which has been some ups and downs and penalties too, I know.
Yeah, I think you look at there were times in the game where we rushed the ball extremely well. I think they went into this game feeling challenged by an outstanding front four. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at it, Brandon only got hit a couple of times, which is rare when you're playing against a defense, and especially a defensive line that talented. So there were some things that we got better at as an offensive line unit, and now they're in there going over the corrections so that it can become a winning performance.
A lot of people also want to talk about the number of touches, carries that Trent Richardson has. I keep going back to this. When a running back's in that neighborhood of 25 or more carries, you're likely leading late in the game. I mean, the game circumstance does contribute to what that total usually ends up looking like.
Sure. No, I think that's important. I want to look at total touches because I think there's times when you can get the running back in space and throw him the football. I think that's important too. And, he had close to 130 yards of production, which is a good day. And I think, if you're leading in the second half, then you can lean on the run just a little bit, And we were pointed that direction, and
right.
He was getting his touches throughout the first half, and
yep.
He got some in the second half as well as catching the ball. We threw it to him on the 4th-and-3 play,
right?
That we had another couple of throws to him where he got yardage on screen passes and whatnot,
yep.
And so, I think that's the right way to handle it. He's an outstanding player, and we know what he is. He can get the ball in the end zone, and he had some good snaps last night.
And speaking of Trent Richardson and the running game, he had his first breakout against Cincinnati in week number 2, mm-hmm. ran effectively there. So that's your opponent this week. Do you see, again, the idea that he could be a big part of what you're going to try to do with the Bengals coming to town Sunday?
Well, he needs to be involved. I think that's important. But I think all the positions have to play well. And so, and it's about scoring points. I keep going back to that. And so whether you hand it to him or throw it to him, it's about scoring points. And all the other positions have to play well in conjunction with that. And just like when we put Chris Obanai in the game, he broke out on a 38-yard screen pass. So
right.
Everybody that's in the game needs to produce. And you can't play your number one running back every single snap. So whoever you choose to put in there needs to produce. And I think we all understand that.
And your defense did a pretty effective job, too, sacking Andy Dalton 6 times in that game. He still had 3 touchdown passes, but you guys were pretty effective up front. So if you look at your defensive front, and I know you're dealing with guys being banged up, and you may not be able to line up the same people you had in that last game, but that there's got to be some encouragement there.
Yeah, I think we'll go back and look at that, what happened in the first game against them, and there were areas in that game where we played well, and then of course there was also some play that's got to get better. And I think we're a better team now. I know we're dealing with some injuries, but I think we're a better team now, and I'm sure they feel the same way about them.
And lastly, Joe Hayden back mm-hmm. from his suspension. How important is that to have him back in the lineup?
Well, when you can add one of your best players back to the lineup, I think it's something that helps. And talked to him early this morning. He's excited to be back, and we'll put him in there, and we'll go play.
Great. Pat, thank you very much.
You got it.
Head coach Pat Shurmur joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Your questions, your comments coming up next on ESPN 850 WKNR.